14 lutego to walentynki, ale 14 lutego to też dzień premiery drugiego albumu grupy The Velveteers, czyli A Million Knives. Mam okazję rozmawiać z Demi Demitro i Baby Potter Smith, czyli osobami, które działają w tej kapeli. Hello, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Just hanging, getting excited for the release of the album.
Okay, so before I focus on the Million Knives, first some memories, because last year, 2024, it was 10 years since the band was formed, and next year it will be 10 years since the release of the first single, Death Hex. Demi, how do you remember the beginnings?
Oh, I remember the beginnings just being very magical, just very like pure. I remember recording that song, Death Hex. That was like the first thing I think we had ever recorded, and just felt really cool being able to release something that we felt so passionate about. And I think our fans like that song. It's like one of our classic songs, so.
Although a decade has passed since its birth, the full-length debut was not released until 2021. The album was named Nightmare Daydream. Why did it take so long to wait for the first major material? Because, of course, there were single songs in wait.
We released an EP in 2018, but it's currently not released. It's not on Spotify or anything. So the first thing after Death Hex we did was the EP. And then as far as how long it took to release Nightmare Daydream, I just think we were feeling it out and really wanted to put something out with intention. And we're kind of waiting for the circumstances to be right and feel right. And I feel like everything just kind of fell into place. But yeah, it was many years of just kind of discovering our sound that led to releasing Nightmare Daydream.
Last question before start talking about second album. I wonder how two sets of the same instruments can fit perfectly. I talk about percussions, because two guitars, okay, that's fine, but two percussions?
Yeah, it's definitely strange. And sometimes it doesn't work, but we force it to work. But I don't know, after doing it for a while now, it's proven itself to be really fun, especially in a live setting. It's just having two drummers playing as hard as they can just really makes you feel the beat in your body, the vibrations of it, in such a really intense way. And then in the studio doing that, it can kind of free you up to try some beats that you wouldn't otherwise think of doing if it was just one drummer. It kind of limits and also frees you up to do other things that you wouldn't otherwise do. So it's just an interesting way for us to get some different sounds that we wouldn't otherwise get.
Okay, I think I understand. Our listeners also. And now let's focus on the album that was released on February 14th, A Million Knives. I'll start with the release date. Was it intentional that the album would be released on Valentine's Day?
It actually wasn't intentional. We went through many different dates of when the album was going to be released, and the last one we ended up with was February 14th. But it ended up being perfect because the whole album is kind of centered around hearts and heartbreak. So I'm pretty excited that it just, landed on February 14th. It feels kind of symbolic of the album.
The title of the album also seems interesting. Why Million Knives? Why knives and why million?
Well, on the album, we have a song called A Million Knives, and it's kind of just, once you listen to it, I think it'll make a little more sense, but I just kept seeing this picture in my head of a heart being stabbed a million times with a knife, and sometimes that's just kind of how life feels to me, and I think probably the world can relate to that feeling. It's just kind of difficult being a human sometimes, and so that specific phrase kind of felt pretty symbolic for the whole album. The theme of the album is just different themes of heartbreak. So that's kind of why we ended up going with that. And I like hearts and I like knives and swords and those kind of sharp things.
As with Nightmare Daydream, the producer was Dan Auerbach, one half of the Black Keys and owner of label Easy Eye Sounds. And I would like to ask about your cooperation. How did it go during the production of the album? Did you feel the difference compared to Nightmare Daydream?
I would say that this album was a lot more intense. I feel like just the vibe of everything felt more intense. You know, we were writing about things that were more like personal, and we went and recorded the album last year in December. And so it was just it was a very cold time of year. And while we're in the studio, we were just like freezing the entire time, which might have contributed to it feeling kind of intense. But I think we had a lot more songs this time to record and track, and we had a short period of time to kind of just get everything out there and then, you know, see how it was flowing. Nightmare Daydream, I think, was a pretty quick process. We did it in like 5 days, and this time was a little bit longer. But yeah, it was definitely a different process this time, but it was still really fun.
I think Dan was a lot more hands-on this time around, which was really cool. It felt cool being able to kind of be under his wing, and him really help shape some of the songs and help us explore different sounds that we would have not explored. On the first record, I think he was really just trying to capture it exactly as we were. But on this one, we were all exploring a lot more, and Dan was really leading a lot of that.
I've mentioned that the producer of Nightmare Daydream took 5 days, and the A Million Knives took longer, but I think longer produce, it will be better quality.
Yeah, I think it always just depends, you know. I think some amazing things are recorded in a really short period of time, and then some other things that are also really amazing just take longer. I think the creative process for something is always different, but yeah, I agree that taking longer to do something can sometimes end up with better quality for sure.
The atmosphere of the Black Keys also accompanies the first single from A Million Knives, Go Fly Away, in which, apart from them, Patrick Carney is a co-writer. What did they bring to this song?
He brought the original seed for the song in. He had like a couple samples, and the week leading up to him coming into the studio to work on that song with us, he was just kind of coming in every other day, it seemed, and hanging out with us during lunch, and just we were just all talk and like be friends and joke around. And then we had like a 2-day weekend between recording, and Patrick sent Dan some ideas saying that the Velveteers should work on, you guys should work on this. And Dan like didn't really know what Patrick was saying, like what his idea was. So he was like, hey, you should just come over to the studio and we'll all work on it together. And so on like Monday, or when we showed up to the studio, Patrick was just in there with Dan, and we just immediately all started collaborating and working on the song. And it was cool. It just came about so naturally.
The second single, Sucked Cherry, I found information was written on a hot summer day when Demi had a guitar, a drum machine, a notebook and cherries. And Demi, how big a role did this fruit play when writing this song?
I went to this cabin, and it was kind of in the middle of nowhere, and I just like kind of locked myself in there because we had just been on tour for like a really long time, and I just needed to kind of like reset my brain. But sometimes when I'm like writing stuff, there will be a random object in the room that just ends up somehow being in the song. So I think the cherries probably had a decent amount to do with it, but it was one of those things that just like kind of comes like that to your brain, and you're like, oh, cherries, and then you realize there's some cherries over there. But yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so let's stay in the Suck the Cherry, because it's very rare to create as many as 3 music videos for it. There's a regular version, a bedroom version and a honeymoon version. Where did the idea for three visually different clips come from?
That was kind of just, it ended up just happening. The like main official music video was done with someone else, and it didn't capture exactly what we had, like what we were wanting to capture. We kind of wanted something a little bit more DIY feeling. That's just, we wanted to feel like we made it in our bedroom. And so like the night before the song came out, Demi and I just quickly filmed a video in her bedroom of her just lip syncing to the song. And then we edited it that night and posted it. And then over the next like 3 weeks after that, we just had more visuals in our head that we, for fun, just wanted to make another video, which would be the wedding video, I think. And so we made that as well.
Yeah, I think we just had a lot of creative ideas. And sometimes when you have a lot of creative ideas, you just have to like get them out there in order to feel sane. So I kind of feel like that's what we were doing. And we really wanted to put something out that felt like it really represented the song, because we just wanted to feel like there was something that we were passionate about that went with the song.
Yeah, because like the month preceding that, when we announced the record, we were on tour. So we didn't have any time really to do anything creative visually that we made ourselves that went along with the album yet. So I think when we got home from tour, we had all this pent up creativity that we just wanted to get out. And so we ended up just making a bunch of music videos for the same song.
Yeah, it's kind of fun having three videos though. They're all very cool in their own right, I think.
I don't like the first one, but I think they're all unique.
While listening to the album, I sometimes had the impression that at some points you were inspired by the work of British metal band Black Sabbath, especially with the songs All These Little Things and Moonchild, slowed rhythm and sharper guitar, in contrast to the rest of the tracks from A Million Knives. In my opinion, I don't know what about you, this already touches on punk music with metal.
That's cool. We definitely have, you know, Black Sabbath influence. I think when we first started, I just was really obsessed with heavy music, and I just loved the loudness of it. Yeah, I remember when we first started the band, we would oftentimes reference Black Sabbath and just like the entire vibe, like the darkness around that style of music. And I think that's the cool thing about Black Sabbath is like, we aren't even like ginormous fans of them. We're fans, but not like obsessive or anything. But that's like how influential they were, that their influence just kind of seeps in to a lot of the stuff we do.
The last track, Fix Me, is, in my opinion, an explanation of the concept of the whole album. It starts very bitterly, with hatred, I think, so that later a man confesses and tries to fix the mistakes he made earlier in order to spend time together with his other half again. However, I would like to ask about the melody from the toy that can hear at the beginning and the end of this song. What is it about?
So that melody is actually, it's from my grandma's music box, which is right here.
Sweet.
This is the music box.
And then you have to, it's like a little table, bedside table, and you open it up and then it.
I can hear it, but I think that the listeners are understanding.
So that basically came from my grandma, because she passed away the year before. And so almost there's so many things on this album that are just kind of like paying tribute to her, like the album cover. I'm laying on her bed. She has this kind of funny bed. And yeah, then the music box, just something I wanted to add in. And I feel like it really kind of brought the song to where it needed to be.
You've mentioned about a cover of A Million Knives, and I think what is supposed to symbolize?
So when we were coming up with the concept for the album cover, we kind of felt a little bit lost of like, what do we do? And I had this mattress that I inherited from my grandmother. And at that point, I don't think we even had the name A Million Knives, but I just, like, I kept seeing in my head the tarot card, the Ten of Swords. And I was like, that could be really cool to take inspiration from and just stab these knives and these swords into the bed. And so that's kind of where the idea came from. And then we just really ended up liking how it looked visually. Just felt like the right thing.
Your favorite song from this album that didn't come out as a single?
My favorite is Up Here. There's a song called Up Here. It's just like a really pretty song. And we almost didn't record it. It was like a Demi had made years ago. And oftentimes when Demi makes a demo herself, she'll send it to me over email. And so like a couple of days before we went to record, I was just going through my old emails of her demos that she had sent me from years ago, just listening to them. And that one was, I think, one of them. And Demi was like in the other room and we both came in and just listened to it. And we're like, well, yeah, this is, we definitely got to record this song. Like, it's such a good song.
I would say mine is Sweet Little Hearts. That was one of the first songs I wrote for this album. And I feel like it really captures kind of the whole theme and the vibe of the album. I really love that one.
Let's focus on the tour that started with the release of the album. What can the audience expect?
Yeah, we're just going to play a lot of the songs off that album. And we have a bunch of props, like homemade props that are like paper mache that we're going to put on stage and just try to have a really fun, memorable show and live experience. So we love at our shows connecting with the audience directly and like interacting with them. And so just, well, hopefully the audience can expect a show that they will remember for a long time.
The tour covers the United States for now, but can we expect a European part in the future?
I hope so. Yeah. My fingers are crossed that we get to go to Europe.
Yeah, as soon as we get the opportunity to where we're able to, we would do it in a heartbeat. You know, that we would love to come over there and see everybody and make new friends.
And in Poland, is it said that the hardest thing to make a second album? So at the end of this interview, short fortune telling, will the second album, A Million Knives, be a success in your opinion, or does it not matter to you at all?
I think it will be a success because it's something we're proud of. And I think when you're able to make things that you feel passionate about, to me, that is what is successful. So I feel good about it.
Me too. We love the record. So whatever happens, happens, you know. It would be a different story if we didn't like the record, but like our heart feels like it's literally in those songs. Like we worked so hard on them. So it does, I'm not really too worried about any way it performs or anything because I just know that we love it.
Okay. And that's all. Thank you for joining to this interview and I wish you good luck during the tour. Demi Dimitro oraz Baby Pottersmith, członkowie zespołu The Velveteers, byli gośćmi audycji Uwierz w muzykę. 14 lutego ukazał się drugi album A Million Knives. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Nice talking to you.